Welcome to the Witcherings Fitness Podcast with me, Ben Price. Our mission is to inspire and unleash the potential of 1 million people, and we hope that doing this podcast will help us achieve that mission. Today, we are talking about the origins of WitFit. Rory, the manager of Witcherings Fitness, is here, and he's going to interview me today on the origins of WitFit, why we started, and we're just going to have a chat about various things that come to mind. But that's the general loose theme.
Cool.
So, Rory, off you go.
Thanks, Ben. As Ben said, I'm Rory, manager at Witcherings Fitness, and I walk around with various things, be it t-shirts, hoodies, whatever, and they say Witcherings Fitness established 2018. And I think, how did it all get going in 2018? Because it was before my time. I didn't even live in the Witcherings in 2018. I only know the gym as it is now, and it's been for, say, the last year. So I'll often wonder how Ben got going in the first place. So that's why we're having this podcast today, or asking these questions today. So, Ben, let's go back a bit further than 2018. Let's go back to your first career in the military, and let's think about, even back then, what were you thinking about health and fitness? Like, what are the germs or the origins of health and fitness in your life going back to the army?
Probably starts before the army, really. So if I think back to how I was growing up at school, I wasn't a fitness person by any means. I kind of liked to play sports, but I was pretty shit at them. Being unfit was probably a major contributor to that. So I was never particularly fitness orientated. Definitely grew up with a perception that fitness wasn't for me. I felt awkward in gyms. I carried a lot of injuries, and that when I actually joined up to join the army, I was told I was overweight. My BMI was too high. Not many people know that, and so I had to go away and lose weight, get my BMI to the right level. And then I joined up.
So what was that time period then between that first, and we'll talk about that rejection from a mindset point of view. I'll try to remember to come back to that later. But that kind of first rejection because you were overweight, high BMI, and then coming back and joining, how many months or weeks was that?
I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
It was like, you know, you need to be at this level if you're going to be able to join up, kind of thing.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because if we think too about our members, some of them will come in with high BMI. They might have their own military ambitions, or they work for the fire service and they have to do a fitness test, or they work for the police and they have to pass fitness tests. But even if you're not in the services, people come in thinking, right, I've got to lose some weight, I want to do this, that and the other. And you went through that journey yourself, so maybe tell us a little bit about that 3 to 4 months. Did you have to change your mindset? Did you have to train differently?
This was back at a time where I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, to be fair. So all I remember really doing is eating less bread and going for more runs, which is a pretty fair strategy, and it worked. But
just, we'll cut there.
Yeah,
okay, there's your advice, guys.
And generally, just I did lift weights then. I just did more lifting of weights, I think. But I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was going into normal gyms. Like I said, I carried lots of injuries. So running, you know, very far was difficult, not because I was unfit, but also because I carried injuries and that kept derailing me, which was a constant theme throughout then my military career, was trying to get fit, trying to get healthy, and constantly being derailed because of injury mainly for me. And then just that constant process of having an injury and then being derailed sort of confirmed in my mind that I wasn't really built for this. I wasn't resilient enough. I wasn't able to kind of do X, Y, and Z because of a sort of natural lack of fitness, which I now know is complete rubbish.
So the injuries kept reinforcing the limiting beliefs around you not being resilient or not being able to do whatever you wanted to do in the kind of physical space.
Definitely.
So if you think back to that 3 or 4 months, what's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of one big lesson that you learned that you've carried on through your life?
Well, if you really want to do something, you've got to work bloody hard at it. And I think I learned that. You know, I wasn't really putting enough effort in back at that time. And that's why I was overweight. So I put the effort in and I got results.
It's interesting because we talk a lot about willpower versus discipline, don't we? And we have a lot of people start and they look at you and I and they think we must be robotic automatons who don't enjoy a good time and who have never been unhealthy or never been overweight. And obviously it's true for you, but it isn't true for me.
You're right.
No, in all seriousness, this idea of like willpower versus discipline, it's like you learn obviously that lesson about having to work really hard. You know, how come now at this point, however, what are we, 10 years later? More, 15 more. Years later.
Yeah.
15 years later.
2000,
well, yeah. You're at a healthy weight.
2009 I joined, it's okay, up there on the
2009.
Wall. 2009. So there you go.
14 years, 13 years. So now you're pretty, you're no one's bulletproof, but you're really resilient to injury. Weight isn't an issue at all. You can do an Ironman and still hold on to strength. Mm. You can strength train and still hold on to conditioning. Like, what do you, obviously that's hard work, but talk to me about kind of willing yourself to do it versus discipline today.
Yeah, so willpower will only get you so far, you know, people, and that's, and that leads into why most people fail when they start with their fitness in the first place. I probably did use willpower to start with, absolutely, to get to me so far, but the reason I am now resilient and now pretty fit is because of the discipline of just keeping up the daily habits of nutrition, mindset, training, recovery and sleep. And they're always at the front of my mind. I always have to check them. Sometimes I forget about drinking my water or whatever, but it does come back to the discipline. And, you know, I don't have a great deal of willpower, really. No one does. Some people have varying degrees, as we've discussed in the past. And I think my willpower is probably quite low, but it's good enough to get it going. And I'm disciplined enough to make sure that I will stick to things if they're important enough to me. And I think with health and fitness, it's about how important is it really? Like, is drinking more important to you? I remember having those realizations, like I'd go out for a night out and I wouldn't remember anything. And I'd think the next day, well, what's the point in that? I just spent 80-100 quid on a night out. I don't remember anything. I feel like shit today. I'm spending more money today on crap food. And it sort of spirals into the next week and you don't feel good about yourself just for that one night out.
Mm. I think there's two things I want to come back to there. I'm saying this out loud to remind myself. The first one is meaning. You talked about it being meaningful to you. So let's come back to that and then let's just go through each of those kind of big five. But in terms of drinking and mindset, my own experience with that is that, you know, my limiting beliefs around that is a man should be able to go out, get drunk, get up the next day, train hard, and you shouldn't have to make a compromise anywhere in your life. You should be able to burn the candle at both ends. Mm. That's what a proper geezer does.
Yeah.
You know, they're my own things that I had, that I would live with throughout my 20s, but also, you know, through to late 30s today. I still get that limiting story in my head sometimes. Yeah, you should be able to go out and do all this, or why can't you go and do this? You're entitled to do this. It's your right to be able to go out and do this. Mm. You know, that kind of push to go and have that big night out, get wrecked. And that's where it comes back to meaning and that linking it back to that kind of bigger picture of, in terms of what you want for your life.
Mm.
And I'm having that conversation of going, yeah, okay, on the one hand, you could run with that story,
but it runs counter to what you're trying to achieve with your life.
Yeah, definitely. And also, we are coaching others who are struggling with that same issue. And a big part of my, I suppose, ability and wish to achieve my mission is leading from the front and leading by example. So it'd be a bit weird if I was, or we were kind of doing that, going out and having getting absolutely wrecked, and that'd just be strange, I think. And I feel way better for living the big five and living what we talk about all the time. So
yeah, I think your another point you made there touches really nicely on meaning, in terms of, like, obviously it's meaningful and important to you that you set a good example.
Definitely.
So it's not setting an example for the sake of it. It's because you believe, I'm putting words in your own mouth here, but obviously you can jump in and stop me if I'm getting it wrong, but you believe that by setting a good example, you pull other people with you on your mission to inspire and unleash the potential of a million people.
Yeah.
And so it's so much bigger than you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then, like, you know, I ran an Ironman last year, triathlon Ironman.
Did you?
Yeah, you hadn't heard, but I did. And if you don't know what an Ironman is, look it up. It's 4K swimming, 180K bike ride, and a marathon. And when I first heard that, oh, and then the thing is, after that, you get to boast for the rest of your life. when I first heard that, I thought, bloody hell, that's insane. Like, you know, I wouldn't even think of running a marathon, let alone doing all that and then a marathon. But I did it, and I was somebody who smoked, drank, and had lots of injuries. And the reason I did the Ironman, when I turned 30, I was like, I'm going to do the Ironman to prove to people that all this mindset bollocks that we talk about all the time is true, and it works. And I did it, and, you know, and it does work.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big part of reason why I did it, and reason I lived the big five. And
so let's talk about the big five, one of which is mindset bollocks. But let's go through I want to go through each of them in
but
turn.
Why do we call it mindset bollocks?
Yeah, let's call it mindset bollocks
because so many people think it's bollocks, don't
and
they?
It will
and I used to
that bit of humor, or just, like, you know, because there's a bit of people think it's a bit pompous maybe, but it just cuts through that with bollocks and yeah, demystifies it. I think that's good.
Yeah.
So let's go through each of those five, but before, and talk about, like, discipline versus willpower, and then we'll move on. But my question before that is, do you have, you're an army man, so you know this, you know what the vanguard is, don't you?
Yes.
It's like, you know, in old infantry units,
yeah,
it's the guys right at the front.
Yeah.
And I always think about, like, that, what's your vanguard behavior? Like, what's the thing you do first that unlocks all of the others? So I think with the big five, when you fall off, like, I wasn't feeling very well last week, when you have these moments where you just don't train for a few weeks, or you're not very well, or you have a big night out and it sidetracks you and you fall off the wagon, like, how do you get back on the big five? Obviously we don't, you know, have big nights out, but and my vanguard thing is training first. So, like, off the big five, if I train, then
the gateway,
after that session that day, nutrition will be great, sleep will be better, I'll want to recover.
Yeah, definitely.
It will help with my mindset.
Yeah, I think so. But then the question is, before that, how do you make yourself disciplined enough to get to that training session?
Okay, and then that's how we're on it. So if we start with, like, training as the first thing of the big five, what's your willpower versus discipline thing with training?
I personally will make a plan, and I will be disciplined, and I will commit to sticking to that plan. And lots of people make plans and they don't stick to them. And the problem is, how you do everything is how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you don't do the plan once, it's so much easier the next time to not do the plan. And then you feel bad about yourself, and then you feel guilty, and then you eat shit, and then you're sleeping crap, and then you don't want to train. You definitely don't want to train. So I make the plan and I stick to the plan, and that's my discipline. And yeah, and then it's the gateway opens to healthier eating and better sleep and everything, like you said, for sure.
Yeah, for me it is that. It's write the program. You know, when I started training for High Rocks, what took the pressure off immediately or allowed me to focus on the moment rather than worrying about how I would perform today versus a competition in 2 or 3 or 4 months' time, was just have a program and a plan that I had full confidence in, and just know that regardless of performance, it's enough just to do the session.
Yes.
It's enough just to show up. And it depends how you feel. And we talk about, you know, 80% of success being showing, being just showing up. I think a lot of people think, I have to be at my best to come and work out, or I've got to give it what I gave it yesterday, or if I don't match or beat that score of last week, I'm failing. Just show up, do the warm up if that's all you can do, and go home.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's like 80% of your success is to show up, and that's the discipline. So all you really need to do is show up.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, going back to having a plan, for those who don't know, HYROX is kind of a fitness competition with various elements in it. So, you know, Rory's following a different plan to prepare for that, and I've followed a different, slightly different plan to prepare for the Ironman. But what training, the training sessions that we have at Wittering's Fitness are good enough for me, and they're good enough for anybody, right? Mm. So you don't need to, it takes away that element of what am I going to do in that session?
Yeah.
Because that's overwhelm. People don't start because they don't know what they're going to do.
No.
And so that's why what we do is really important, I think. You know, we have an organised session where you can come in. It's all done. It's all like prepared. It's like the best session you're ever going to have in an hour. It's like the most time efficient thing you can do in an hour, exercise wise,
mm-hmm.
we believe. And if you, and if I was to walk into a regular gym without somebody there, you know, basically coaching me through everything I was going to do, unless it was a bike ride at zone 2 on my heart rate, which I can manage just about, because, you know, that's like, I don't need to think about that too much. You know, I'm going to wander around myself, and I'm going to waste time. I'm going
to
procrastinate.
Yeah, the barriers to entry are so high, aren't they? When you don't, because you think about all of the reasons not to go to the gym. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, that's gone.
Yeah.
Because the program's been crafted for you by experts. Ah, but what if I'm going to hurt myself? Well, you're getting coached in like small group PT environment, so don't worry about that. Am I, you know, using the right weights? Have I got the right stimulus? Again, the coaching's there to take that worry away. How do I even know how to warm up properly? Well, again, the coaching takes that worry away.
Yeah.
What if I stop and procrastinate and I get my phone out, or I start watching myself in the mirror? Well, there's no phones, there's no mirrors, and the sessions are designed to kind of move you from one thing to the next as efficiently as possible. So it takes away so many of the barriers to like...
And the other thing, because remember, like, for everyone who's listening, like, I've been through all of this. I know how intimidating gyms are. I understand all of that, and I understand getting injured, and I understand how... what you need to do for recovery. So all of the way we do our sessions is based on loads and loads of failure. It is. It's based on loads of fails from me personally, and all the coaches and people who've put their input into it to make it absolutely awesome. So I don't know what I was talking about there. I don't know where I was going with that.
But you actually, you went on to another big five area, which is recovery.
Yeah.
So like the discipline to do recovery is a slightly different beast, because now you're not in the gym.
Yeah.
You can obviously work on your recovery in the gym, but we're thinking about what happens between sessions. So again, what's your kind of willpower versus discipline on recovery?
So my, what, right now I don't need to worry about anything because I don't carry any niggles or injuries. However, when I do, I make the time to either get massages, sports massages. So when I was doing Ironman, my knee was playing up a lot. I was getting sports massage every week. I was making the time either during my workout, in between, what, you know, rest times, to work on that particular issue or niggle. And then there's other little disciplines and things you can do, like going cold water swim. And if you've got a sauna, you've got access to a sauna, things like that. But yeah. Does that answer your question?
It does, and it's good because it's a different answer to mine, which is nice. So we're not saying the same thing, but my so recovery for me, what's made a difference in the last six months, say, would be, the first thing would be, and this is a kind of American phrase, so apologies, but I think if your prehab is on point, you don't even need to recover.
What exactly?
Like, I don't,
and the quality of the training.
Yeah, I don't do any recovery as such, because I don't feel I need it after a session, because I've warmed up better in the last 6 months than I have ever done before training at any point in my life before, whether it was competitive team sport, whether it was CrossFit, whatever it was. At WhitFit, I probably warm up for twice as long and on very specific areas of concern or weakness for me, so that then I don't have to recover later. And the other thing is then Morpheus
is
training in that conditioning zone, which basically, for anyone who's listening who isn't sure what we're talking about there, is essentially working at a heart rate zone where you're improving your fitness and you're benefiting from the training, but you're not pushing yourself into the red and depleting yourself and potentially causing injury. And if we don't, you can in time do that intuitively, but at first, definitely at first, you need to be able to track that stuff and know where you are, so that you know what is a zone to be at that isn't just cruising but isn't burning out either. And kind of, I've trained for years red zoning myself.
Yeah, exactly. I would have done the same. Yeah, and like, it sounds a bit arrogant, but I genuinely don't think there's a better fitness program than what we're doing. And if there was, we'd be using it. And the combination of getting your heart rate training zones right, having an amazing warm up, and doing a bit of strength and a bit of conditioning, it's brilliant. All functional movements, you know, stability, mobility. For me as well, like, I haven't trained. This is how I want to train, basically. That's why we do it like this. This is like the best training that I can think of for most people.
Yeah.
Weights machines have their problems, you know. Certain CrossFit gyms have their issues. People going breaking their necks doing handstands and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I've been to all sorts of different gyms and some CrossFit gyms have been amazing, by the way. So it's not a slant on any particular gym.
Yeah, I don't think CrossFit's the issue. I think, like, driving your car. You could drive your car safely.
Yeah.
You can drive your car like an idiot and crash it into a tree.
Yeah.
And I think CrossFit's like that. If your body is your meat vehicle, like, you can move safely within it, or you can move dangerously within it. And so, but I think obviously some of the competitive aspects of CrossFit are potentially dangerous if you're under the wrong coach, in the wrong setting, etc. But what CrossFit has been amazing for, which we're a beneficiary of, is kind of creating a desire around the world for people to train functionally. And you mentioned there about machines in gyms. You know, everything that we're doing here translates to the real world, translates to life. It is functional movement. It's not in a limited plane or pattern that a machine is going to put you in.
Yeah, and again, I've been through that. I've done years of bodybuilding as well. And it's bloody boring.
Yeah.
It's boring. It's long. You know, it's a long time. I used to have to go to the gym for 2 hours to get my session done. And I got lots of injuries. I wasn't moving functionally. I remember being able to bench press more than I could squat, like much more. And that's not right.
I think psychologically unhealthy as well, because bodybuilding obviously puts all the emphasis on appearance and aesthetics.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to get away from here. I said earlier, we've got no mirrors, but that's not a small superficial thing. That's a big thing. And that's another aspect of Wittering's fitness that makes it unique, and that's that kind of prioritization of health over fitness.
Exactly. So a lot of people think, I'm healthy. How many times have you heard that? I'm healthy but I'm not fit. It's like, are you healthy though? If your back hurts, is that a lack of fitness or is that unhealthy? How do we classify that? So for me, you know, they're very much intertwined. I think your health your fitness are measures. You can have fitness measures which will indicate your health.
Yeah, I agree. So, fitness is a barometer of health.
Yeah.
All fitness does is tell you how healthy you are.
Yeah. Whereas I have been ripped. I've had a six pack and muscles, but not been able to run around the block because I smoked. Yeah. And that's not healthy.
I had, similarly to you, ripped, six pack, sub whatever, 8-9% body fat, was a smoker, had torn meniscus in my knee, which I never properly fixed, which meant that then I could back squat two-thirds of what I can now. Terrible deadlift technique.
Yeah.
Went out on the smash, but as long as it was included in my daily kind of calorie count on my ridiculous like bodybuilding diet, it was fine.
Just going back to what you said earlier about, you know, being able to go out on the beer and still be able to perform and live life perfectly normally the next day. We used to have a phrase in the army, it was like, if you can't do your job hungover, you can't do your job. That's so rubbish.
Yeah.
That just goes to show how hungover we were day to day in the army. But yes, going back to the health over fitness thing, I think most people care much more about their health and they think that they're healthy, but actually, and they don't need to worry about their fitness, but actually, like we said, fitness markers are going to indicate your levels of health. And, you know, most people don't care about their fitness because if they can't run to 10K, it doesn't particularly bother them day to day. But if they're sick and they can't get out of bed, therefore, you know, unhealthy, then it impacts you massively. You can't go and do anything that day or possibly that week. So health is really massive. And most gyms, most fitness things don't talk about health, and we should definitely talk about that a lot more.
Yeah, and I think the issue there is societally, the bar is so low that basically, you know, you're healthy. Most people think, oh, I'm healthy if I don't have a disease.
Yes.
And there's a huge gap between disease state and optimal health.
Yeah.
And most people are existing in between, thinking I'm healthy just because I don't have to go to the hospital once every 3 months, or I'm not on certain medications. That said, there's a lot of people out there, especially people over 45, 50, who would consider themselves healthy but are on
statins,
other blood thinners,
yeah,
anti-cholesterol medication, whatever it might be, blood pressure stuff.
Yeah. By the way,
it's normal and natural.
Yeah. Exactly.
In inverted commas.
If we look around, we know the stats, right? 60% of the UK is overweight.
Yeah.
30% is obese, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's higher now, those numbers post-COVID.
Mm.
That's normal. So 40% of the UK is ideal body weight. That doesn't mean healthy.
10% by, you said
10%. I've worked out 10% healthy.
Right.
Because of other factors I can't remember right now. But I suspect 10% of the UK is actually healthy. And we don't have a particularly a great definition for health, but free from disease and able to move and have high energy is kind of a loose definition for me. But, you know, I think I don't know if anyone really realizes this, but my intention is to live for a long time as well. You know, so health is very important to me. I want to live to 110 or older and still be able to do all of this stuff.
Mm.
I still want to be able to surf, and I still want to be able to go for walks and everything and do all of the stuff I do now. I don't do Ironman triathlons or crazy things like that because of, or maybe a little bit because of ego, but I don't do it to impress others. That, you know, it's more to inspire people, to show it's possible and to still maintain my health. And what we were doing before, when we didn't know about heart rate training, was we were just smashing all the time, and actually it wasn't healthy.
So let's go back to what we're supposed to be talking about today, which is the origins of WhitFit. Let's go back to 2018 and go, well, obviously it's called Wittering's Fitness, it's not called Wittering's Health. So what journey have you been on over the last 4 years in terms of opening a gym, and has your mentality changed in terms of health and fitness, and how has your has your approach changed over the last 4 years from when you first opened the doors?
I don't think so. I think I've always felt that quite strongly, and that's the reason I was really motivated to start a gym. It's because I wanted to see it in my own image, how a gym in my mind should be. It should be a really welcoming, community focused place which focuses on real fitness, which is going to help you in real life, not mirrors, not all that shit that we've just talked about. So I don't think my approach has really changed. It might have. It's definitely developed. It's advanced in, you know, and we've got better techniques and things like that, and we've got our merits and our ethos and the big five, which just clarifies what we are delivering.
Why don't you just like recap merits?
Move fit, enjoy it, remain humble, integrity, take ownership and show up. So those are our six things that are really around mindset. They're sort of mindset principles that are going to help you re-engage with fitness and keep focused. And then the big five are the things that are really going to move the needle for you. That's mindset, training, nutrition, recovery and sleep. We have a little big five challenge during our 6-week program where you have a little task to do in each one of those. And I think as long as you stay focused on the big five, you delve into the merits and understand that as a methodology or as just principles to address your mindset, you know, it's what you need.
I think because ethos is so important, obviously you were talking there about part of the origin story is wanting, and you probably weren't thinking about merits at the time, you probably weren't even using the word ethos, but you had this idea or you had a vision, didn't you, 5 years ago, I want a gym that is like this, right? And it's developed into merits.
Yeah, well, I used to have a ton of words written down on a blackboard, do you remember that? And they used to give people like a 2-hour seminar when they joined about how it should be, basically. It must have been mental.
Let's just do a quick run through. We'll do one each in turn of like each of the merits, where we go. Because if we say move fit and someone isn't a member, what the fuck does that mean, right? Okay. So let's go through each one and be like, in reality, what does it mean to say you start move fit?
Okay,
what does that mean?
So move fit simply means learn how to move before you increase the intensity of what you're doing. So learn how to squat properly. Don't worry about, like, leave your ego at the door. Don't worry about how heavy you're doing it, how fast you're doing it. Just learn the technique really, really well. When you can do it consistently without getting injured, then you can up the intensity.
Okay, enjoying it. For me, enjoying it is not worrying about whether you're carrying a slight injury or whether you're tired or whether you're slightly off and you can't beat the person next to you or beat your own score from last week, but just appreciating the privilege of being able to train. You're in the 10%, you're probably in the 1% of people just being here, just enjoying your workout. And of course, when we enjoy it, we move naturally on autopilot. We're not focusing on anybody else. We're moving intuitively and mindfully, and lo and behold, we perform better and we're quicker and we're less likely to get injured because we're having fun.
Exactly. And the other thing is, there are people who out there who are actively punishing themselves with exercise because they ate a chocolate bar last night. Stop doing that. Just enjoy your workout and actively try to enjoy it. A lot of people are like, I just don't enjoy it, but I have to do it. Stop. That's just a thought process. That's just a stupid story that you're telling yourself. Forget it. Okay, just enjoy it, have fun, make jokes, you know, that's what we do.
Remain humble, Ben.
Remain humble just simply means you are never the smartest person in the room. You can always learn more. Two ears, one mouth. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So leave your ego at the door.
Integrity is, of course, remaining humble. That is part of what it is to show integrity. But I think it's about who you are as a member of the community as well. You know, are you the type of person who, if you're required to use kettlebells during the workout, you know, rushes to the front and grabs your weight first? Or do you let the person who's maybe less able than you go and pick and choose and you'll adapt the movement? You know, are you honest with yourself? If the coach wants a score for this workout, are you giving them a true score?
even if it's not about the coach asking, it's like if you're being asked to do a push-up chest to floor, is your chest hitting the floor? Are you cheating yourself effectively in that movement? And just then how you comport yourself around the place and being open and welcoming and, as Ben has already said, leaving your ego at the door.
And injury. If you're, like, be honest. You know, don't let the ego get in the way of an injury. If you, if your knee hurts, it's okay. Like, go back to move fit. Learn to move. You move around that injury. Like, we can always do that.
Yeah.
And you can always do that.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself. Like, if you're feeling run down like you were the other day. And, you know, you can't train as hard that day. That's okay. Be honest with yourself and report your nutrition correctly.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise you're not going to get anywhere.
Take ownership, Ben.
Take ownership is take ownership of the things in your control. We like to say the things in your control are the big five: mindset, training, nutrition, recovery, and sleep. So ignore everything that is not in your control. It's a ancient philosophy from Stoicism. It's quite famous. But why are we watching the news? We can't control half the stuff on the news. It's mostly negative reporting. It gets our mindset down, it makes us depressed, and that can lead to us eating unhealthily, smoking, drinking, all the rest of it. So what we can definitely control is our thoughts. We can control when we're training, we can control our nutrition, we control our recovery, and we can control to a large part how we sleep. And we can do everything within there that we can. If there's something we can't control, why are we focused on it? That's it.
And then finally, showing up applies sort of across the board, but whether you're showing up to training because that gets you back in the groove, whether you're showing up to the accountability calls that we hold for members to help them stay on track or get back on track, whether you're just showing up for your wife, your husband, your kids at work, just show up.
Yeah.
And then if you are feeling rough, if you are under the weather, then show that integrity. Remain humble. Try to enjoy it and move as well as you possibly can, but show up.
The only thing new here is us putting it into merits. There's nothing that we have particularly invented around merit. You know, enjoy it. Around merits, there's nothing we have invented there. It's all really, really good stuff. It's worth studying, as I have and you have, you know, in different ways we've studied it, but it's essentially Stoicism, philosophy, common sense, being aware of your mindset. So it's all really important. And the guarantee is if you learn to move, if you have fun, you remain humble, you stay honest with yourself and your coach, and you take ownership of the big five, you show up 3 times a week, you will have success with your health and fitness. So many people want that success, and but they're like, oh, I don't want to do, you know, I don't want to stop drinking my red wine every evening. Well, you're not going to have success. You've got to, you know, I only want to do one workout a week. Well, it's not going to work. Forget it. So, and if you violate any of those principles, then you're doing so at your own risk, really. That's it. Amen. Up to you.
I've just got one last thing I think that's important for us to talk about, because we're talking about the origins of WhipFit, and those of you who know Ben already will know this, and those of you who don't, I don't think he's going to mind me saying this, but he has lots of ideas, and he's always thinking about the future, and he's thinking about where we can take Wittering's Fitness in 3 years, 10 years. How do we inspire and unleash the potential of 1 million people? 1 million people is a big fucking number, right? Yeah. It's going to take a number of years to achieve that number. That requires vision. Ben's got a lot of vision, but then that's always looking at the future. It's always like focusing on the gain, and today we're looking back at, you know, beyond 4 years ago, but particularly the last 4 years of WhipFit. And we've been talking recently, the two of us, about, I'll let Ben kind of talk to you about it in the context of the gym, and then we're going to relate it back to you guys so you've got a lesson to go away with, but focusing on the gain, not the gap. Now you look back at the history of WhipFit and you think about the future of what you want to achieve. What's your, like, gain gap thinking, just reminiscing?
Yeah. Well, first thing that springs to mind before I go to the gain gap is 1 million people is a big fucking number, but it will require us to achieve that. It will require us to think in a different way and a bigger way, on a bigger scale, which is going to have a bigger impact, and we're going to leave a bigger legacy. And that's why I did an Ironman, because it's like, that's bloody massive, you know, that's hard. And it requires you to do different things. And it, you know, there's a book called The Magic of Thinking Big, and it explains it much better than I can probably do in a short time. But when you have that, if you think big, if you think a little bit more beyond just, I want to be healthy, how about, I want to do 20 pull-ups. You know, some people are just going to think they're so ridiculously hard and impossible that they just won't even entertain the idea. And it's, but just try it. You know, just have these things. And when you achieve it, you're going to be like, oh, shit, I just did. You know, and Nelson Mandela, it's always impossible until it's done. You know, now it's done, an Ironman. You know, one time to me, that was impossible. It scared the shit out of me. I didn't think I was going to do it. Now it's done. I'm like, well, I've done it. It's not so bad. I mean, it was bad, but no, I'm joking. yeah, so that's the reason our goal is a big goal, and that's the reason I think people should set themselves big goals. And if you don't like the word goals, then you say projects, whatever. It's things that you're working on. And then focus on the gain, not the gap, is when so many people, even people who have done a half Ironman recently, they're like, yeah, but I'm not there yet. I'm not wherever. Look, you've just done a half Ironman. 1 year ago, you weren't training and you were unfit and unhealthy, miserable, probably a bit depressed. And now you've done a half Ironman. That's amazing. Like, look at what you've achieved. And that will give you confidence and a sense of satisfaction. And it's okay to have goals and lofty goals and thinking big. But if you always focus on the part between where you are and where you need to be, it's going to depress you. It's going to knock your motivation, and yeah, you're just not going to feel good. So that's what I mean by focus on the gain and not the gap.
Yeah, I think, and the issue here is as well, is we're fighting evolution. Like, as human beings, well, our brains have evolved to focus on negativity. They're hardwired for negativity because it's a good survival strategy to always look out for things that might hurt you or cause you harm, because then you're not so blasé to risk, and therefore your genes survive into the next generation. That's brilliant from a pure survival point of view of your physical body, but for your mental health and your mindset, it's a bit of a problem until you realise that actually that's normal and natural, and you have to do something about it. So most of you guys listening will have sedentary office jobs. That's now normal and natural, and coming to the gym is your way of counteracting it. Just like negative thinking is normal and natural, and the way you would counter it would be to focus on the gain. And if I can offer you one little bit of mindset of advice, whether you do this once a day or once a week, look at that gain, sit down, look back at the last 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, even just the last week, and write a list out of all of the things that you are pleased about, proud of, that have moved the needle for you in some way, even if it's just 1%, 0.1% improvement in any particular area, and show your subconscious mind that you're improving. Yeah. Otherwise, as Ben says, all the focus is on the gap. The gap, if you're an ambitious person, is always huge because you've got big goals, and it's overwhelming, or it's depressing, or it makes you anxious and try to do everything at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, cool. I think next podcast we should talk into normal. What's normal versus what's natural?
All right, normal versus natural. Okay, cool.
Because if we go into that now, we could talk for another 45 minutes.
All right, let's do that next time.
All right, that's, we're going to leave it there. If you've got any questions or anything that you want us to answer, then send them in to help@witteringsfitness.com, and we can answer them or discuss them. Thanks for listening, and we'd appreciate your comments. So please comment below so we know you've listened and are getting some value out of this podcast. Thanks very much.